Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Gimel. We're holding at the bottom of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, and let me just bring you right up to date over here. We just had this amazing statement that, wow, Rish Lakish said, it doesn't matter if you've got a mum in a treifas in the lungs after you already shechted the kona. And we had a machlokas yesterday, and what the heck would that mean? So Rabbi Zera thought what it meant is that once already you only have chatzi chius, so to speak. The animal is not fully alive because it only has a veshet and not a kona. So a treifas no longer affects it because anyway, it's not in its full organic strength. And this is the way Rabbi Zera took it. Rava understood it in much more sophisticated fashion. And the Gemara said yesterday that the fact is that Rabbi Zera understood in the end that he had made a mistake. And we're going to see why we say that today. And that Rava was right. And the way Rava understood Rish Lakish is that Rish Lakish says, look, essentially there are two different systems of connection of a behemoth to the world. And when it loses either of those systems, it is considered to be detached, and if it's part of the Maisa of Shvita, that's the way to be shechting it, to complete both systems. One's the respiratory system, and one is the digestive system. Those are the ways in which the continued input of the world is central to life. So you need oxygen, and you need nutrition. So now, the point of Rish Lakish is that once you went ahead and you shechted the kona, you've basically detached the animal from oxygen, and the respiratory system is no longer relevant. And therefore, whatever happens to the lungs is unimportant. And this was because of a Gavi concept, which was the kimunach bidikul adamya. Once you've cut off the respiratory system, you might as well look at the lungs as being wrapped in a supermarket plastic and ready for sale. They're no longer part of the animal, and therefore, who cares whatever happens to them? And it has nothing to do, however, with, let's say, a hole in the intestines. I mean, if something happened to the intestines, the stomach or whatever, wherever there's a treifas, which we'll see later, then, of course, that will be considered to be a real treifas. It has nothing to do with its being only half alive, so to speak. So we got up to yesterday was seven lines up from the bottom, which was the fact that the Gemara thought that even though Rabbi Zera said, Mali Bereya, Mali Bivnei Mayayim, Hadar Bei Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera, in the end, had karata from that. And we see that from the following. How do we know he had karata? Because look at the question that he raised, and you'll see from the very fact that he could raise such a question, he obviously was no longer looking at it the way that he used to look at it. Because Rabbi Zera asked the following issue. Boy, Rabbi Zera, let's say that there was a nekev in the Bnei Me'ayim, bein simen le'simen maho. Let's assume that there came to be a hole between the shechita of the first dekana and then the veshet, and between those two simonim, there came to be a hole in the intestines. Okay? Now, remember that according to Rabbi Zera, such a hole, alibid Rish Lakish, would not be a treifa. So the very fact that Rabbi Zera is now talking about the question, it's a fascinating question, which we'll get into the details in a moment, but the fact that he can question whether such a thing could be tor midei nevela obviously shows us that he now agrees that it's definitely a treifa. The only question is, does the shechita help to be metayer at midei nevela? Why would the shechita not help to be metayer midei nevela? Because consider, every shechita serves two purposes. First of all, the shechita is something which removes the din of nevela. So therefore, it takes off the concept of tumah. And there's another thing that shechita does. Shechita is matir for achila. Now, those two things are really very different, and they're addressing different issues. Shechita as a heter of achila, this is now a sophisticated question, and we'll see that it's raised again in other circumstances. And the shechita which is the heter v'achila for a ben adam, obviously that means that it isn't an avela, but it has a separate pe'ula, where even if it's not a shechita for a ben adam, because this animal is not kosher to eat, it's a treifa, nonetheless, shechita itself means that this animal has not died. It has been shechted, and therefore it's not a nevela. And there, this is two completely different functions. So now Rabbi Zera's question is, if one of the simonim, when you first started shechting, and that was the kana, that part of the shechita was a multi-level shechita. It was coming to address both the din of the nevela and the din of achilas adam, right? Now, after you did that shechita, the half shechita, the problem is that the next half shechita is no longer a shechita for achilas adam. It's only a shechita to take off the din of nevela, because now the animal's a treif, and adam can't eat it. Somebody shot it through the belly, right? So now the question is, can a multifunction shechita be mitztaref with a monofunction shechita and turn it into a complete shechita? Or does it have to be a multi-level shechita throughout? Now, in the end, the Gemara comes out, not here, but in a different context of this discussion. This is a really beautiful beauty. The questions on these dafim have been so clear and so sophisticated about the issues that they raise, in which they parse things that we thought were just like simple issues into their variable parts. It's been so delicious. And it gets even better as we go along here, because what the Gemara points out is that, let's just first see it inside. The boy Rabbi Zera, Nikvu b'nei me'ayim bein siman l'siman mau, mi mitztarev siman rishon l'siman sheni, l'tara midei nevela olo. Would a half-functional shechita, where you're cutting a veshet only for the purpose of being metayaret midei nevela, can that be seen as part of the original opening shechita, and it's all one shechita, even though the first part of the shechita was there to be matir it for adam? Now, in the end, as I say, not here, the Gemara comes out that, well, it's a kal v'chomer. I mean, if that shechita was multiple function, then it's even better, isn't it? Why would it not be part of the remaining shechita, which is on a mono function? Okay. But take a look at the glorious way in which the Gemara takes Rabbi Zera and says, but we've already raised that issue. Now, where have we raised that issue? This is genius. We've raised this issue as follows. Remember, again, this is the incredibly sophisticated understanding of treifas that I keep saying over to you. And it's just amazing. The concept of treifas people think is that there's some kind of organic deficiency in the animal, or the simple meaning, the animal was attacked by a predator, and it was taruf, it was attacked, and it was lying in the field, and you find it in the field, as the pasuk says, right? The sadeh treifa. Now, what the heck does the field have to do with the treifa? Who cares where you find it? The Gemara, therefore, understands, this is brilliant. The Gemara understands that the concept of this sada is it's within a field, not a physical field, a field. In other words, it needs to be defined by the space in which it's in. If it exits that space, now that space can be a very conceptual space. It can be an organic space. It's functioning within an organic wholeness, and that allows it to survive. The minute that that organic wholeness is kaput, it's a treifa. But it can be a treifa because it's in the wrong space. What do you mean? Well, let's say that it's hegdash, and you take it outside of the azara. Now it's in a different space, one which is not suited for it. Whoops. It now becomes a treifa. A treifa? Yes. A treifa, because it's no longer in its space. Okay? Now let's get another thing. Suppose it is an embryo. What is the space of an embryo? Uterus. Aha. Now, suppose little embryo sticks a hand out of its space. The rest of it is still in utero. But that hand is no longer in its space, and the hand becomes a trefa. Yes. So if an animal's fetus sticks a leg out of the uterus in the process of being born, that hand became a trefa. If it's now pulled back into the uterus and the animal is shechted, which usually will be a perfectly kosher shechita for the contents of the womb, in this case, that leg is trefa, always. Now, here is the Gemara's brilliant question that says, Rabbi Zera's question about shooting the animal through the intestines after the shechita of the kuna, before the shechita of the veshet, which would have disconnected the digestive system, is precisely the question. How did you not see this, Rabbi Zera? This is the question that Ilfa raised ages ago. Isn't that Lav Haino de Boy Ilfa? Take a look at the awareness of these people. Isn't that the question that Ilfa was asking before? That what would be if the animal stuck out a leg between the kana and the veshet, and then you continued the shechita? Would the first shechita, the first simen, could it be mitzaref to the simen sheni to be mitayaret midei nevela olav? Because over here, it's exactly the same question. The first simen, of course, it's in the inverse, but it's basically the same idea. The shechita, in this case, the first part of the shechita, which over here, remember, the problem that we're coming to talk about is not the shechita of the animal itself, but the fetus that's in that animal. So the first part of the shechita was a full shechita, exactly like Rabbi Zera's case. There was no trefus in it. But now, the second part of the shechita was coming now for a trefa, because now that hand was traf. Now the question is, can you make the aver tohar from nevela, because now it's a dead aver minachai, so to speak, and therefore it would be mitame like a nevela? Or do we say, since we have a multiple function shechita for the first part, which was matir everything ba'achila and mitayer midei nevela, and we have only a monofunctional shechita in the second part, because it cannot be matir the trefa ba'achila, it would nonetheless be mitzaref, because as we turn out in the end in that sugya, that the din is that it's a kal v'chomer, a multifunction can definitely be mitzaref. Is that not amazing? So it's exactly the same question. Why are you asking the same question? Okay. I mean, any idiot can see that, no? Lav Haino de Boy Ilfa? All right. So then that means that it's precisely the trefas that come from being outside of your field. And you're lying out there in the sada where that's not where you belong. Then it's going to make you a trefa. Anyway. Now, getting back to what that implies about Rabbi Zera, but you see from here that Rabbi Zera's only issue was the question of whether it's mitzaref, but he takes for granted it's definitely a trefa, avo be'achila asura. So why did he say that? I thought he held that aliba reish lakish, it's not considered to be a trefa at all. Obviously, he changed his mind, and now he understands that the correct approach to Reish Lakish was Rava's approach about Kamanda Mancha B'Dikula Damya, and we take a look at each system, digestive and respiratory, separately. Now he understands, right? Must change his mind. Omele Ravacha Barav Ravina, maybe he didn't understand. Maybe he was just asking, if you understand Reish Lakish like Rava, what would you hold about this fascinating issue about shechita, about multi-level shechita? And Rabbi Zera, maybe he was only asking this Lidvar of the Rava Kamar. I mean, he felt it was a fascinating question. He hadn't thought about Ilfa's phrasing of the question, but he himself, maybe he doesn't hold that it was a trefa at all. So you can't prove it from here. But one thing that we do see from here, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, according to Reish Lakish, this is another incredibly sophisticated issue, According to Reish Lakish, that the separation of the respiratory system is exactly the same as removing the lungs and putting them into a supermarket, that would mean that you cannot invite a goy to eat with you any part of the animal which was part of that system. So it can't be part of the digestive system, and it can't be part of the respiratory system. Why? Well, because since when you did the shechita on, let's say you cut the kana, right? So now when we cut the kana, we have an unhappy alon this morning, which is not useful for our learning. Gosh, no matter what it is, it can't be as happy in the opposite direction as this Gemara is, for sure. So therefore, maybe the smile is a little bit less than yesterday's, but it's got to be grand, I hope. And whatever it is, ha-makom yimalei chesroncha, bezrat Hashem, b'schus l'limud. So now, if I invite a goy to eat any of those internal organs, he's eating Avery Menachai, because I took it out while the animal was still, it's crazy, while the animal was still living, I removed the lungs. And for Yisrael, that's fine, because it was Nishchat. But there's no din of Shechita for a goy, so therefore you wouldn't be able to actually feed it to a goy. So from here we learn, Shema Amino, Mida Rebbe Shimon Ben Lakish, Mizamnim Yisrael al b'nei me'ayim, ve'ein mizamnim avdei kochavim al b'nei me'ayim. You can only invite a Yisrael to eat any of the internal organs. My time, huh? Because a Yisrael, the b'shchita talya milta, he is completely dependent on his heter achila on shchita, not on the death of the animal. So kivan de'ika shchita ma'ayata, the moment he did a proper shchita, it's now mutter, but it's also removed, and the animal is still alive. But the Ovid Kochavim, who doesn't have a relationship to Shechita, he could just stab it and eat it. And for him, the heter of Avrim and Achai is a function of the death of the animal, not an act that you do to the animal. The mitata yamilta. And over here, the animal is not dead. So it's the equivalent of Avrim and Achai forever, and he'll never be able to eat that. Omer of Papa, I was there in front of Rav Acha bar Yaakov when he said this, and I wanted to say to him at the time that this doesn't seem reasonable. I mean, Miika Milta, Mita Midi, Yisrael Shari, Lovdi Kachovim Aser. Are there things that would be Aser to a guy, but are mutter to a Yisrael? I mean, doesn't it make sense that the Torah is more machmir on a Yisrael? And if it was matir this for Achilas Yisrael, it would certainly be matir it for Achilas Akum. But I didn't tell him that, because I said to myself, look, I mean, it's not really a halacha to say such a thing. It just makes sense. But what he's saying is actually the way that the halacha should develop according to purely halachic principles. And I don't know whether, you know, my svara is enough to counter the halacha. I mean, he's saying a svara, a taima kamar. It makes sense what he said. But the truth is that there's a braita that says that we do not accept Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It says, Tanya Dolk Rav Acha bar Yaakov arotzeh le'echol mibeim ha'kodem she'atza tete nafshan. So suppose somebody wants to eat meat from an animal that is still alive. How can you do that? Why would someone want to do that? It was considered to be very healthy. The more life, so to speak, there is in a piece of meat, the more it's going to be a healthy geschmacka piece of meat, which accounts for South African braais. The animals are still alive while they're being served, usually. Oh, boy. What a bunch of... I don't even get like a wink. I think nothing, absolutely nothing. It's like, can you imagine a comedian going up there on stage? Every single joke falls flat. People are looking at him with their eyes closed. The guy probably walks home and commits suicide. I have to go every single morning and live like that. Just imagine. Man, Mercy. Okay. All right, Ari. All right. So now, if you want to eat some really healthy meat, so you got to eat the animal while it's alive. So how do you do that? So what you can do is you can cut off a keziah of meat right at the makom of the Beis HaShchita, which does not require any additional work. It's right there, ready to be cut. You don't have to butcher anything. You don't have to remove any skin. You've got it all there in front of you. Take a keziah right there from around where you did the shechita and salt it well, wash it well, and then you shouldn't eat it while the animal is still literally convulsing, because that's not because of Eved Menachai. It's certainly not Eved Menachai, but because it's lo tochlu al adam, as one of the implications is to treat it with respect. So don't eat it while the animal is still alive, but you cut it off of the animal while it was still alive. So mamtin la'ad she'tetzei nafsha, and at that point you can eat it, and that would be your very healthy meat because you got it off of a living animal. So anyway, what does that show you? Well, nothing yet until you read the last words. Echad of the Yechavim, the Echad Yisrael Mutarim Ba. That even a goy can eat this, and this is not a problem. And that means that the whole point here is to tell me that do not pay attention to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that it's usher for a goy. Once it was kosher for Yisrael because of Shechita, that Shechita is definitely going to be matir for the Akum. And actually, this is the way that Ravidi Bar Avin used to say over as an eight. Said, "Omer Ravidi Bar Avin, Omer Ravitzu Bar Ashiyan." Arotzeshi Avri. Somebody is feeling ill and wants to get strong and healthy. Chotech kizayit basami beishchik tatasha beimam ocho yafe yafe midicha yafe yafe mamtin la'ad shetetzei nafsha. Exactly the eights of this brayta, and he closed with the psak halacha. Echad Ovid Kochavim, the Echad Yisrael, are mutter in this kind of meat. Okay, we are now ready for the next Mishnah, and we've got Doc that's handy here, because my goodness, Richie actually took off one of those cigar tubes with a rocket thing in the back. Man, oh man, you have to have a lot of guts nowadays, what can I tell you? But go ahead, Doc, give it to us. We've got our pilot here, and he's not with us. Thank you. We won't blame you for any internet failures. So now the question is, before we begin this Mishnah, we have to just remind ourselves of what the dinim are about Hechsher. For remember, we learned the entire Machshirin together, so we're very familiar with these dinim. And we have to remember what is considered to be a proper hechsher and what are the different levels of tumah. So let's start with hechsher. Remember that we have ki yitain is what it's written in the pasuk, ki yitain mayim al zera, and it's pronounced ki yutan mayim al zera. And from there we learn that you need to have something that was beratzen. And it was either Baratzim from the beginning, but one of the seven liquids, which includes blood. In this case, it's important to remember that. Blood is one of the Yadam Shachat, one of the seven Mashkim, which will be Machshir food, and food would be Zra'im, fruit, Bosar, any type of thing that is going to be consumed is only considered to be ready for consumption if it was first exposed to the Shiva Mashkim. So that's the basic din of Hechsher. Then we have the different levels of Tumah. So we know that Ochlin and Mashkin are Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon LeSheni, a Rishon LeTumah, but a Sheni LeTumah will not be Metame Chulin. It will be Metame Truma, but it's not to make a Truma a Shlishi, and a Truma that is a Shlishi can actually on Hegdish can actually make a revi, but these were all things that we had in detail in Chagiga. And the question would be, if you do a dry shechita, A dry shchita is a shchita in which there was no blood. So first of all, is that kosher? Or do we say the heart must have stopped beating before you did finish the shchita? Because how the heck would there not be blood? We don't say that. And we consider the animal to have been alive, unless you prove otherwise. But it is still considered to be a kosher shchita. And we don't assume that that means that the animal was dead. Now here's what the tantalizing point is. And you can even eat them. Now remember, yadayim isoavot does not mean that they are bacteriologically dirty. Yadayim isoavot, even though that's literally what it would mean, it means your yadayim are stam yadayim and they are tummy. Now, stam yadayim, what's the din of stam yadayim? And we're assuming it's stam yadayim. Stam yadayim, as we saw all along, because we also learned yadayim together. How do you like that? And what we learned over there was that stam yadayim are a sheni lituma. And therefore, something's fishy about this Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying that the fact that lo yatsa mehem dam means that they can be eaten with your stam yadayim. But if yatsa mehem dam, then for some reason you would not be eating them with your yadayim isoavot. But why? They will not be makabel tuma, even if it was mukshel makabel tuma. Meat will not be makabel tuma from a sheni latuma unless it's hegdash. And we are definitely not talking about hegdash here, as we are going to prove in multiple ways. And that's going to be the problem that we begin with here. Lefi shelo hukshiru b'dam. Since they weren't kosher, made hechsher for tuma by blood, which would be one of the shiva mashkin, this is an unusual case in which you have meat that is not mukshel kabel tuma. Rabbi Shimon says you don't need any of the shiva mashkin, because remember that the entire idea of hechsher is to give it a din of food, and to make something human food, it needs to have been washed off with something. And therefore, in this case, we have the equivalent of the shchita per se. The whole point of doing an act of shchita is to turn it into humanly edible food. And therefore, that's the equivalent of hechsher, says Rabbi Shimon. Why would you need any of the mashkin if you did an act of shchita? Okay, so now our first problem that we raised in the Mishnah itself is the first thing that the Gemara deals with. Taima de lo yatsa mehem dam. You're telling me you can only eat it with those yadayim, which we're assuming are sheni latuma, is only because there was no bleeding. But if yatsa mehem dam, you wouldn't be able to eat it with yadayim tmeo. But why? Yadayim are shniyot. Remember, we always call yadayim shniyot, and a sheni cannot be osa shlishi b'chulin. And don't try to even raise the question of maybe we're dealing with hegdash, because you'd be out of your mind. Of course we're not dealing with hegdash. I'll prove it to you multiple ways. Well, you might have noticed that it said in the Mishnah that if somebody is shochet a behema chaya v'of, have you ever heard of a chaya that is hegdash? There ain't no such thing. And therefore, it's obviously not referring to hegdash, tiktani chaya. I mean, kachim don't have a chaya. Chaya b'kachim i'ika. And furthermore, if we're talking about kachim and it didn't bleed, how would it be kosher? The whole point of kachim is to take the blood and then to be able to do the zrika on the mizbeach. And you're telling me, oh, it's okay if there's no blood. Understand? Of course it can't be talking about kachim. Isn't that the whole point of the shvita here? And furthermore, I mean, to reduce this to utter absurdity, if we were talking about kachim, even if it did bleed, it wouldn't be machshir. Because this is another Gavi rule. Mi machshir? Via omer Rabbi Chiya bar Rava, omer Rabbi Yochanan, minayin ladam kachim she'eino machshir. Dafka, the one type of blood that would not be machshir anyway, would be dam kachim. So even if you could figure out some possible way that it would be kachim, the whole meaning of the Mishnah would be ridiculous. But if it did bleed, then it would be, but no, if it did bleed, it would still not be makabel tuma. Because dam kachim is not machshir, okay? How do I know? Shenemar al ha'aretz tishpachenu kemayim. Where's the whole halacha derived from? That dam is one of the shiva mashkim. from the fact that it says in the Torah that you should spill out the blood of the animal on the ground. But you don't do that if Hegdash. Therefore, it's telling me only dam shenishpach kamayim is makshir. But dam that is not nishpach kamayim is not makshir. And therefore, you are unable to say that the Mishnah is bekutshim. And I'll get, you want to see how really insane it is? The two, the craziest part is that if it's talking about Hekdesh, you don't need dam to be makshir. Did you forget Chibat HaKodesh? Chibat HaKodesh is the equivalent of Hekdesh. And therefore, even things that are not even foodstuffs to be eaten are going to be Mekabel Tuma, like Levona and so on. Why? Because that tremendous chashiva that an Adam puts on it gives it the same din as if it were a foodstuff. So no matter how you look at it, if you need the blood, this is the wrong kind of blood. You don't need the blood, but you do need the blood to put on the mizbeach. So how could it be kosher? And anyway, it would be a chaya. So it's absurd. So let's not engage in absurdities. Okay, we're talking about chulin. And for some reason, this Mishnah is saying that chulin would be mekabel tuma from your Yadayim, if it had been Moksher. But that is not true. So what's going on over here? My goodness. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. I have a solution. We're not talking about any old chulin over here. We are talking about chulin that was purchased with money of Kesef Meiser Sheni. Well, you'll remember what the din is. Kesef Meiser Sheni retains its kedusha, you take it to Yerushalayim, and you buy foodstuffs with it. One of the things you could buy with it is meat. So you bought meat. Ah, now you have meat that has a certain level of kedusha. Now let's remember the stages of kedusha. Okay? We have chulin, but we don't go straight from chulin to truma. We have meiser, meaning meiser sheni. Then we go to truma. Then we go to Kodesh, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim. Then we go to Paraduma. Those are the various Malot, right? Now, if we're talking about over here, not just plain old Chulin, we're talking about Chulin that was bought with Kesem Meiser. Therefore, this Chulin has a Kedusha of Meiser Sheni, and the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the Kodesh of Meiser Sheni is Mekabel Tuma from a Sheni Lituma, just like Truma is. Now that's a machlokas, but that's what this Tana apparently holds. In that, he is not going to agree with Rabbi Meir, as we're about to see, but he will be going according to the Shita of the Bale Machlokas of Rabbi Meir. What am I talking about? I am talking about the Mishnah in Pora. Ditznan. And we learned para together, so you'll remember this Mishnah too. It's a shame Richie isn't over here, so we can just rub his nose in it, you know. Kolaton, kolaton bias mayimi divrei seifri mitamei es hakodesh. Listen to this. Anything that needs, that makes you become tamei, and you would have to go ahead and put it into the mikvah. And that idea of bias mayim means that you would have hands that have to actually get water poured over them. If you're talking about something that is tame bidya raisa, you have to actually not just bias mayim, you need complete fila and you need harif shemesh and so on. If you're talking about bias mayim, even if you're talking about bias mayim, that is your whole body, that is something that would be true for truma, not for anything else, because you don't, the idea over here is that, for mice, I mean, but not for anything else, because that is enough to be matire you for mice. But that's the simple meaning of bias mayim without anything beyond bias mayim. So anything else, anything like that, is matami es hakodesh. It literally makes tame, meaning when you say makes tame, it means that that touched it can be matami something else, right? So it's real tuma. If it touches truma, it passes the truma, but it's not matami the truma. Because the ruling over here is that kolaton bias mayim yom divrei seifri means that wherever the chachomi made a takana of requiring water, it's always that they turned that thing into a sheni. And since they turned that thing into a sheni, it will make Hegdash a shlishi, and that shlishi can make a revi. But it only passes truma, and that truma cannot make a revi, even for Hegdash. This, of course, we need to discuss in detail, but it's not nogea for us today. So if Hegdash becomes a shlishi, it can make a revi. Truma becomes a shlishi, it cannot make a revi, even in Hegdash. And it would be completely tahar when it comes to Chulin and Meiser Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir does not agree that there's a level of sensitivity to Tuma which derives from Meiser Sheni. But the Chachamim say not true. When it comes to Meiser Sheni, you cannot actually touch what seems to mean. You cannot touch that Meiser Sheni with your Tumas Yadayim, because Meitzer Sheni is in fact sensitive to Tuma on the level of a Sheni, and it's not like Chulin. So if our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir, and it's going like the Chachamim, then it makes perfectly good sense. And it's not talking about Chulin in our Mishnah, because Chulin, in fact, would not be sensitive to being touched by Stam Yadayim, but Meitzer Sheni would. And this is an animal that's Meiser Sheni, according to the Chachamim, so everything works out. Excuse me, says Rav Shimi Barashi. You're making some serious jumps over here, which I have no idea where you get it from. What makes you think that we're talking about, in this machlokas between Rabban and Rabbi Meir, what makes you think we're talking about touching Meiser Sheni? Nobody said a word about touching Meiser Sheni. Nobody said a word about whether you can touch meat that was bought with the maus of Meiser Sheni. They were talking about eating Meiser Sheni. That's a completely different halacha. We're much more machmir on achila than we are on negia. So Matkif Rav Shimi Barashi, maybe the whole machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim was only benogea eating Meiser Sheni. But our Mishnah is saying touching Meiser Sheni. How do you know? Maybe our Mishnah is talking about touching, eating. I'll show you in a minute that it's definitely talking about touching. Because Dilma Atkam Oplegi Rabbanan Alayda Rabbi Meir Elaba Achilat Maaser. So what makes you think that we're talking about a machlokas of touching? Maybe we're talking only about the Isra of Achila. Alaba Achilat Maaser. Alaba Benigia de Maaser. And even eating Chulin. Nobody argues, and they all agree, that if you have Yadayim Shniot, you're not going to make any problems by touching it. And clearly our Mishnah is talking about touching, not eating. How do I know? Look at the words in the Mishnah. Miniktani, the Mishnah, how does the Mishnah express the idea that it is okay to have Yadayim Isoavot? Lovely, Diak. Ne'echalim Yadayim Misoavot. They can be eaten with Yadayim Misoavot. Be eaten. What do you mean, be eaten? Well, we're talking about over here, Milo Askina, Tekasofi Lechavre. They can be eaten means you don't have Yadayim Misoavot. The guy who's feeding you has Yadayim Misoavot. And that doesn't matter, as long as you are okay. That's the point. So Milo Atskinen Dekosafi Lechavre. So the Mishnah is implying that even though somebody is feeding you, you cannot feed it if we're talking about Yadayim Misoavot. Why not? Because he is Metame it, and therefore the other guy can't eat it. So if that would be the case, the person eating it is tahar. And the only reason to aser it is because somebody fed it to you with Yadayim Misoavot. But where does anybody hold that? You can't tell me that it's talking according to the Chachamim who argued with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir weren't talking about the guy who's feeding it to you. They were talking about the guy who's eating it. So therefore, you have not explained our Mishnah. And to say that the Mishnah is talking about Meiser is not helpful. So how are you going to explain it now? Huh? Go ahead. That's what happens when you deal with people that are too smart and they actually know how to read. All right. So let's move on to another explanation. I just cannot understand. I really cannot understand you guys. You're in the presence of a chabura of people of such massive intelligence, awareness, clarity, in which just to be part of such a conversation, to be sitting at the table with the Gemara, and to see what it means to be a human being with a brain, is just so enlightening. You know, you could read an entire year's worth of Tel Aviv U and not have one daf of Chulin. It's absolutely amazing. And nobody appreciates it.
What is Chulin is more cutting edge.
What is chus to be able to sit at such a table? Okay. El Omer, Papa, I have a new explanation for the Mishnah. My new explanation is that you are the one who was making an assumption. Your assumption was that we're talking about Yadayim that are Shniyot. Okay, that's where all the problem comes from. And of course, anybody who learned Masechet Yadayim understands why we're making that assumption. Yadayim are always Shniyot, aren't they? Not in this Mishnah. These Yadayim are Tchilot. And you know it's going according to? It's going according to the one Shita, namely Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who actually said that it's possible for Yadayim to be Tchilot, meaning that they would be a Rishon Latuma. Tanya. The Braita says there ain't no such thing as Yadayim Tchilot L'chulin. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, quoting Rabbi Meir, there is a particular case that Yadayim are Tchilot. There's a question about this Girsa Mishum Rabbi Meir, because we only focus here on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and in many Girsaot, there's no Rabbi Meir here. So therefore, let's focus only on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says Yadayim can be Tchilot. And what it seems to be saying is that vis-a-vis Chulin, they can be Tchilot, but vis-a-vis Truma, they can only be Shniyot. What? That's crazy. How can something be Tchilot for Chulin and not for Truma? No. Of course, that's not what I mean. Achikama, Tchilot could affect even Chulin. But if they're only Shniyot, then they're only Tmeyot vis-a-vis Truma, and not Chulin. So our Mishnah is referring to Yadayim that are Tchilot, according to this unique Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and we're going to figure out how is that possible that they became Tchilot in a minute. And therefore, there's no problem with the Mishnah. If the meat, which is Chulin meat, therefore there's no Chibat HaKodesh, was not Mukshir L'Kabel Truma, then there's no problem of eating then that meat, even with Yadayim Tchilot. But how is there such a thing? Umi'ika Yadayim Tchilot? There's such a thing? Absolutely, there's such a thing. Take a look in our Yadayim itself and look at this Mishnah. Hichnis, remember this amazing machlokas? Hichnis Yadav Labayit HaMenuga Yadav Tchilot Divi Rabbi Akiva. Somebody puts just his hands into a bayit that is menuga. That's not really called haba el habayit, because haba el habayit needs to actually walk into the bayit, not stick his hands into the bayit. But the rabbanon would go there that we're afraid if you stick your hands in, it may actually come to your having entered Rosh HaVeruba. Okay, so because of that, the din is that the yadayim are tmeot, and what is the level of tuma? Rabbi Akiva says, Beferish, Yadav Tchilot. Here is a situation of Yadayim Tchilot. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, even so, the Yadayim are only Shniyot. And the Machlokas is, remember, that, as we learned in Yadayim, the Machlokas is, the Kulei Alma Bia B'mitzvos Lav Shmo Bia, it's for sure not a Deraisa. You never walked into this house to be considered V'haba El Habayi. The question over here was, what was the Rabbanan's gezera in which they said, your hands are going to be tamei, yadav atu gufo komiflagei. So Rabbi Akiva holds, look, the point is, if we're making a gezera that we should treat your yadayim as if they actually came into the Bayit HaMenuga, what would be the din if your body went into a Bayit HaMenuga? It would be the Bayit HaMenuga would be metame you like a Rishon, because it's an avatuma, right? Growl. Right? Right. Even Barnea might even shake his head, right? Yes, maybe, yes, sounding like that. All right, therefore, Tainez Rebbe Akiva, make his hands the equivalent of his body. That's the whole point. Whereas the Rabbanan say, you don't make special takanas. This is a normal takana of Yadayim. It's another case of Yadayim Tmeyas. Well, every case of Yadayim Tmeyas has the same Rabbanan halacha. They're Tmeyas on the level of a Sheni. We don't create a new Yadayim because of a Gezeirah of Yadayim Atugufa. I'm sure you now remember this Mishnah, right? So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can have Yadayim Techilot if you stuck them into a Bayit HaMenugah. And obviously, that's the case of our Mishnah. So this guy had stuck his hands into a Bayit HaMenugah, and being as we're dealing with impossible situations anyway, he shechted an animal and it didn't bleed. Now what happens? Okay. So that's what we're referring to over here. It's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Well, wait a minute. If Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is just saying over Rabbi Akiva, why do we need Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Why didn't you just tell me that it's going like Rabbi Akiva? Ah, that's because when Rabbi Akiva said that Yadayim Arishon, their Tchilot, maybe he meant only Tchilot vis-a-vis Truma V'Kachim. We have a lot of super-duper Chomur Dinim by Truma V'Kachim, so maybe this is one of them. But Chulin, maybe Rabbi Akiva never said that Yadayim are Tchilot. Avol Chulin Shniot Avin. So we needed to have access to the one place where there's a Tana who says Beferish they are Tchilot even for Chulin. And that is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now, but wait a minute. According to Rabbi Akiva, it would work anyway. If you tell me that the Mishnah is going Alibid Rabbi Akiva, remember Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that even if the Yadayim would be normal Yadayim Shniot, Hashaminanay the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's personal Shita is that a Sheni actually makes a Shlishi even in Chulin. Whoa. And therefore, in this Mishnah, it would make sense because according to Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about Chulin, but a Chulin is Mekabel Tumah from a Sheni. You might as well go straight to Rabbi Akiva anyway. Where do we see such a thing? In Sota, the Tznan. Bo Bayom Dorash Rabbi Akiva. Back to our wonderful drasha that we had so much fun of with Kol Asher Yipol Mitocho. Remember how many dinim we learned out of that incredible parsha in which we learned out that a Kli Shetef is not Mekabel Tuma from anything but an Avat Tuma, and in which we learned out that we do not view the airspace of a Kli Cheres as being Mole Tuma, and in which we learn out that the Kli Cheres is Mekabel Tuma Mitocho, and only Mitocho together with the din of the Tzamit Patil. It's amazing, amazing. We left out one amazing thing that we learned out according to Rabbi Akiva from that Pasuk. Because it says, Kol Kli Cheres Asher Yipol Mitocho Yitma, says Rabbi Akiva. You know how to read? Does it say Tamei? No. It says Yitma. So then that means that thing which is Tamei can be Metame something else. Tamei lo nemar, ela Yitma. Does it say anything in this pasuk about Kachim? No. It's talking about anything, even Chulin. And that means, here's your case. You've got a loaf of bread inside of a Kli Cheres, where the Kli Cheres was Mekabel Tumah from a Sheretz. Sheretz Av. Kli Cheres Rishon. Loaf of bread Sheni. Yitma, that Sheni should make a Shlishi. Does it say anywhere Chulin? No. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, you know how to read the Holy Book? It says that there's a Sheni being Metame, a Shlishi b'Chulin. Ha! So who oser limed al kikar sheni? So who oser shlishi bechulin? So our Mishnah would work out perfectly if you have to go according to Rabbi Akiva anyway. So then why schlep in Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Why not just say it's Rabbi Akiva and this is Rabbi Akiva shita? And in fact, we're talking about yadayim that will be mekabel tuma from a sheni, because after all chulin is mekabel tuma from a sheni. No, wait. We can't make it work out according to Rabbi Akiva directly. I'll tell you why. Because we don't know that Rabbi Akiva would go so far as to say that a sheni makes a shlishi with a tuma sheni midrabana. Remember, that's what we're dealing with over here. Yadayim. Tuma hani mida bituma diyoraita. I understand that it says in the Torah, if something is tuma midrabana, a sheni makes a shlishi. But over here, did the rabbanan go so far as to be machmer on a sheni be yadayim, which the whole idea of yadayim being tmeot on their own is nuts? I mean, either you're tamei or you're tahar. So that whole concept, they created a chumra to be metame, a sheni should be metame chulin, to make it a shlishi. So we don't know that Rabbi Akiva would go so far. If you want to know an absolutely clear way to explain the Mishnah, it works out beautifully according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and it would be talking about Yadayim Rishonot, and it's saying no matter what Yadayim you have, you could eat a dry Shchita. That's the point. Wow. Huh. Okay. Yes. Let me just introduce our next sugya, because I wouldn't want to go into our next sugya in detail, but there is another concept. Remember, we have a concept of chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. We also have a concept of chulin shenasu al tairas truma. Now, the question is, if somebody decides that he wants to only eat everything, this guy is a Kohen, he often goes to the Mizbeach, and he's given the Kachim, and he's very nervous that he is going to get into the habit, because all year round in his house, his wife is not makbid on making sure that everything is tahar, so he is nervous about maybe accidentally not treating the Kegdish properly. So he's mekabel on himself, everything that I eat, I will only eat as if it's Hegdash. And therefore, I'll get used to the idea that anything that would be Matami Hegdash is going to be Matami my food, and I'm not allowed to eat it. That's called someone who is Urchel Chulin Al Tairas HaKedash. Now, the question is, can such a concept actually work? In other words, it's all very nice for you to say, I will pretend that it's Tami. But is it really Tami? Did the Chachamim actually add a level of Tuma which would allow Chulin to be affected by Tuma in reality and turn it into a Shlishi because it is a special type of Chulin? It's a Chulin Shenasu al Tairas HaKedesh, and therefore anyone who is marked on that will not be able to eat this meat because it's really Tuma. Or do we say, look, there's a limit to virtual Tuma? I mean, we're not at Kedekach. I mean, what kind of imagination do you need? Who do you think you are? Anne of Green Gables. I mean, who ever heard of eating a chulin al tairas hakodesh? Mamela, you want to say chulin is al tairas truma. Maybe that much you can get away with. But I mean, you ain't nowhere near that Beit HaMikdash to talk about a chulin al tairas hakodesh. So therefore, we've got a machlokas about that. So Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Hoshaya. Actually, the Mishnah makes a great deal of sense. If we're talking about chulin, shenasu al tairas hakodesh, and we don't hold of Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua says you cannot imagine chulin into becoming a level of tairas hakodesh, as we're going to see, and therefore even if you are mekabel that you're eating the tairas hakodesh, it has none of the dinim of Kodesh, and the Chachomim never made a takana that it will be mekabel. You can't just arbitrarily decide there's a concept of Tumah when there is no concept of Tumah. So as long as you don't hold of Rabbi Yoshua, who disagrees with that whole concept, then the Mishnah would make perfectly good sense if it's the Loka Rabbi Yoshua, the Tznan, because we have the Mishnah, which we learned together as well, Richie, in Tahiras. And what the Mishnah said over there was that Rebbe Eliezer Omer. You know what? I'm thinking that it might be a little bit. We could just introduce it. Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Ha'ochel, ochel, rishon. Now this, what we're talking about over here, is not directly about chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. It ends up implying things about chulin shenasu al tairas hakodesh. But what we're talking about over here is a new concept, which is called Tum'at Gviyah. So Tum'at Via means that the Chachamim goes that even in the event, and it's absolutely clear to us that there's no such thing as Eichlin being Metame Adam. That's true. But they made a takana that by eating Tuma, if you're eating Tuma, they made a takana that you become Tame. Now, the reason that they did this is because of the chashash, that if you're eating something that's Tame, what if you would take a drink, not realizing that there's still Tuma in your mouth, and you're completely Tahar, so you take out some of your Truma wine from your fridge, you take a drink of wine, right? Of course, it's a wine fridge, not a regular fridge. I mean, you're not like a stomach slob. But anyway, so you take your truma out of your wine fridge and you drink a little bit of that wine, which is truma. And then you will realize that there's food in your mouth that is actually going to be metame in a truma, and you'll be over on mishmeret trumatai. So because of that, we don't want you to have food in your mouth. And we say, you eat food that's tame, you become tame for truma. So that actually is the question. What level of tuma did we put on you for eating? Now, the shear of this is not stam, a kezias, which is the normal din of achila. This is a chatzi pras, which, according to Rashi, is the shear of shnei beitzim. Okay. That we remember, we have that machlokas about what the shear is of the chatzi pras. But anyway, this is Rashi's approach all over about chatzi pras. So now, this new idea is also a machlokas about what level of tuma your body gets. So Rebbe Eliezer says that if you eat an ochel rishon, you become a rishon. If you eat a sheni, you become a sheni. If you eat a shlishi, you become a shlishi. Because, after all, the issue is that you might be metame, the truma in your mouth, the tuma in your mouth, might be metame truma that you put into your mouth. So, therefore, we give you the din of the food stuff that you are eating. But Rabbi Yeshua says, if you eat either a rishon or a sheni, the din is you become a sheni. And even if you ate a sheni, you become a sheni. And we'll talk about the logic in that when we get into the sugya. But if you eat a shlishi, you become a sheni, but you only become a sheni legabe kochim. But you do not become a sheni legabe truma. So he is tomei for kodesh. And if he would even touch kodesh, he makes it a shlishi. And that would mean that kodesh can make a revi. But he's not a sheni for truma at all. And if he touches truma, he does not make the truma shlishi. He's not allowed to eat shlishi, but he's not allowed to eat truma, but he is not affecting truma by eating it. And what do we refer to over here? This entire halacha refers to chulin shenasu al tairas truma. This refers to chulin that you had in mind. You're going to keep the dinim of level of Tyra that you would as if it were Truma. But this is only Altaira's Truma, says Rabbi Yeshua, not Altaira's HaKadosh. I don't believe in this Tyra's HaKadosh thing. I don't believe that you can create a virtual Tyra's HaKadosh. So obviously, Rabbi Yeshua Kasavar, Chulin Shenazu Altaira's HaKadosh does not get a din of being Mitame with a shlishi. So it's got to be going not like Rabbi Yeshua. But if we don't hold of Rabbi Yeshua, we can easily interpret the Mishnah as referring to Chulin Shenasu al Taras HaKadosh, and that solves all our problems. Because then, if it would be eaten by Adayim Misoavot, it would indeed be Mitame, this particular Chulin, which is al Taras HaKadosh. So there we have a viable way of interpreting our Mishnah. Anyway, this was an extremely intense daf. So let's just go over briefly all of the amazing things that we discussed. So we had in this daf, first of all, the beautiful question about how far kemancha b'dikula would go. Would it actually make it evrim min achai to an akum? And we came out with the yesod that apparently There's no mi'ika mide de Yisrael muter, v'la'akum aser actually appears to be a real concept v'halacha, and we will not aser it to a goy. We talked about most recently, we went through the inyanim of the difference between chulin shenasu al taras truma and chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh and the different shitas. We talked about the question about chibas hakodesh. We talked about the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim as to whether there exists a concept of yadayim tchilais, the nafkamina between touching something and eating something, which may be critical in determining the lower levels of tumas of a shlishi or a ravi. We talked about the machlokas of the tumas gvia, which is a gezeirah derabanan, of how ochlin can actually be metame a human being, even though normally that's not possible. And we talked about the din of Hegdesh, that the dam of Hegdesh is not Makshir L'Kabel Tuma at all, which is the opposite of the concept of Chibas HaKodesh, that just being Kodesh is a Makshir L'Kabel Tuma. A very intense and marvelous daf, and looking forward to more excitement. Yeah, well, at least it's self-excitement tomorrow. Okay. Go to everyone.